to finish Romans chapter 11. This is the fourth session. We're covering verses 25 through 36. And this one is entitled, A Mystery Explained. So let's read the passage. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers, a hidden truth. That's a mystery, a hidden truth. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards the election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He's not going to take them back. Irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. Same kind of mercy shown to us is shown to them as well, with the same result, salvation. So verse 32, for God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. If they turn to him, he will have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So that's the end of chapter 11. We see at the end of it a benediction, and I'll try to help you understand why that's there in just a minute. As we have seen, Paul gives his brothers in Rome a word picture of an olive tree, which portrays Jews and Gentiles restored to faith in Christ, living together in unity and peace at the end of the age. But in Paul's time, for the most part, the Jews have rejected Christ. The Gentiles, hearing of a God that can be known and who loves them, have turned to Christ. So Paul tells them in verse 25 not to be self-righteous and proud. They, at one time, were also rebellious, disobedient, and stubborn. They are reminded that to come to Christ for forgiveness requires humility before God, who is both loving and just. Now comes a difficult concept. As in the example of the olive tree, God has given a partial hardening to the Jews. A veil is placed over their understanding. The majority of the nation of Israel will reject Christ. This hardening, a removal of grace from the nation, persists until today and will continue until Christ returns. At that time, as a nation, they will repent and believe in him. To clarify, at no time during this process are individual Jews rejected by God, but few believe until they see their resurrected Messiah return in glory. Paul closes this chapter and the first 11 chapters with praise to God. God's ways are profound, deep, and not fully knowable. Indeed, who can know them? Thus, we must walk by faith. What does he owe us? He owes us nothing, but in his grace he extends his love to us. Now Paul's doctrinal teaching is complete. Now, chapter 12 will begin his practical teaching. The benediction in verse 36 tells us to give him glory forever. Let me share comments from Charles Haddon Spurgeon on this as we close. And let me get that up. And so here's what Spurgeon says about Romans 11:36. And he quotes, "To him be glory forever. Amen. This should be the single desire of every Christian. All other wishes must be subservient and contributory to this one. Christians may hope for prosperity in business, but only so far as that may help them to promote this, to him be glory forever. We may desire to obtain more spiritual gifts and graces, but that should only be to this end, to him be glory forever. You are not acting as you should when you are moved by any motive other than your Lord's glory. As a Christian, you are of God and through God, so also live to God. May nothing ever set your heart beating so powerfully as your love to Him. Make God your only object. Let this ambition fire your soul. Let it be the foundation of every enterprise you begin, and let it be your sustaining motive whenever your zeal grows cool. In the daily activity of your life, by your own individual service and increasing holiness, give Him honor and put the amen to this doxology to your great and gracious Lord. So, Father, as we finish this doctrinal portion of Romans and progress into practical application, we pray that in our day and in our world that we live in, and our family members, our friends, our associates at work, neighborhood friends, whatever it might be, that we remember that the motivating factor is that we should give You glory in all things forever. And I praise Your name for that, in Jesus' name.